Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat Shalom. Today we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, and with the Lord's help we'll finish this ninth chapter in this ministry meeting. We are in Mark chapter 9 and verses 33 to 50. And so I'm reading, please follow me. And he came to Kfar Nahum, this is Yeshua, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" And they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down, and he called the 12, and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child, Yeled, and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And John, this is Yohanan, answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us." But Yeshua said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our side. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Messiah, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." And this is the last verses of Mark chapter 9. Studying this ninth chapter have been very enlightening, because in the ninth chapter of this Gospel of Mark, Yeshua is so practically teaching his disciples because, you know, his disciples are just like you and I, or let's reverse this. You and I are just like those disciples of old. They were men like you and I, people like you and I. Those who follow Yeshua the Messiah were men and women just like you and I, who needed constantly to be helped by the Lord, instructed by the Lord, encouraged by the Lord, corrected by Yeshua the Messiah, because they also had much weakness like you and I have in our lives today. Let me just remind you that in the beginning of chapter 9, Yeshua took the disciples and he went with them to Mount Hermon, to the high mountain. And there on that mountain, he unfolded before them his future glory. He transfigured before them. Moses, Moshe, Eliyahu, Elijah were with him on that mount. Peter, James, and John beheld them, and they were fascinated with the fact that there is a future glory that is yet to come, and that Yeshua the Messiah ultimately will be glorified. He came down with them from the mountain, Mount Hermon, that is, the Mount of Transfiguration. This is in the previous portions of Mark chapter 9. And then down there below again, he taught them another lesson. You remember in our previous ministry meeting, a certain man said to Yeshua the Messiah, "I have brought my son to your disciples in order to heal him, and they couldn't heal him." And you remember what Yeshua have said to them? You remember he challenged them. He says, "You bring him to me." And he said to the disciple, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And they brought this little boy, and eventually the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, our Mashiach, our Messiah, healed that young boy. And of course, he asked his father, and he said to him, "Do you believe?" And he said, "I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief." It shows us again, beloved brothers and sisters, that we are like these men and women of old. We believe in God. We have accepted Yeshua the Messiah. We have learned already that the only way of salvation, it is through him. But oftentimes, in a practical way, we have lack of trust in him. We said in our previous meeting, we believe God for our eternal salvation, but we don't believe on him for a piece of bread. This is us. This is mankind. Lord, help my unbelief, each and every one of us need to say to the Lord Yeshua. And the challenge is, beloved brothers and sisters, I do not know what you go through in your life, and you do not know perhaps what I go through in my life, but the challenge for all of us is to continue on in trusting the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. His love for us have never changed. His care for us is inexhaustible. We can always cast our cares upon him, as Peter said, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he care for you." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It's so wonderful to trust in the Lord and to cast our cares upon him. You remember what Shlomo said many years ago. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." Shlomo HaMelech, Solomon the king of Israel, said that even though he was the king of Israel, he had all the riches in this world, he knew very well that he cannot trust himself, but he need to trust the God of Israel. And you and I need to trust the God of Israel in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So now, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua really began his journey to Jerusalem. He knows what he has to do. He didn't come here to live a long life. He didn't come here to improve this world. He didn't come here to fix the problems that exist here in this world. Not at all. He came to deal with the question of sin, and for this he had to die. And so at the last portion that we have shared together in our previous verses, Yeshua knew that the disciples needed to learn of the purpose that he came. So in verse 31, he taught his disciples and he said to them, "The Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise on the third day. He wanted the disciples to grasp it. He wanted them to realize that he must be killed. He needs to die, because if he will not die, you and I will never be able to receive sins forgiven. We will never be able to come to be right with God, because after all, we all came short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Yeshua came in love for Israel, in love for the nations of the world. He came in order that he will be delivered, and he will eventually will pay for the price of sin and sins. And so he is on the way to Jerusalem. He is heading out. His mind is set towards the city of Jerusalem. And as he is traveling along from Mount Hermon down to Caesarea Philippi, from Caesarea Philippi, he's traveling around the land of Galilee. And he is once again arrived to the city of Kfar Nahum, or the town of Capernaum. In Hebrew we call it Kfar Nahum, the village of Nahum. And in that village, he was always teaching there and instructing the disciples. And once again, as he continued on towards Jerusalem, he is instructing his disciples of what is true honor here in this world. You see, brothers and sisters, we all like when somebody honor us and exalt us here in this world. But as far as God is concerned, the process ought to be different. Those that will be exalted here in this world and get all the honor here in this world, when they're going to stand before God, they will realize the true honor comes from God and not from men. Unfortunately, because we are human, we like to get honored here. We like to be exalted here. And the Lord teach exactly the reverse. Exactly the reverse. Suffering comes before glory. Tribulation come before honor. Humility come before exaltation as far as God is concerned. In the world, it is exactly the opposite. We like to have a good name for ourselves. We like people to tap us on the shoulder and say, you are a great guy. We like to have all the things that found in this world. We like the pleasure of this world. We don't like to be humbled. We don't like to be getting a lower place rather than a higher place. We love the place of privilege and honor here in this world. But let me remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that God said many years ago to Shmuel, the prophet of Israel, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Men like to be exalted here and now, but God knows the heart. And God desires that our hearts will be contrite and broken hearts and humble here before the Lord. And so this is what leading to the verses that we just read in Mark 9, verses 33 to 50. Yeshua himself now teaching once again his disciples about true honor. True honor, true place before God that is really that which gives joy to the heart of God. And by the way, why do you think local churches, local congregation, local assemblies are breaking to pieces? Why is it that many of us do not live in harmony with one another? It's because we do not humble ourselves before the Lord. We are not thinking about the other. We are so selfish by nature, even as believers. And that's why there's many broken relationships, broken marriages, broken homes, broken assemblies, broken congregations, because we are not people who are humble as we are exalted in the Bible to be. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, Peter said to the early believers in 1 Peter chapter 5. So now please follow me as we continue here with those next verses here. In verses 33 and 34 of Mark chapter 9, we find now that they have arrived to Kfar Nahum. Notice that it says here in verse 33, and he came to Kfar Nahum, and being in the house, most likely is the house of Simon, Shimon, and Andre, in Kfar Nahum, next to the synagogue, next to the Beit HaKnesset. So he is in the house, and as they are in the house, verse 33, Yeshua asked them, and he said, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" Now, in other words, he shows us that as they were walking around the area of Galilee and heading all the way towards the town of Kfar Nahum, they were talking with each other, walking through the field, walking there on the mountains and the hill of the Galil. They were talking with each other, but apparently when they were talking with each other, notice it's verse 34, it says, they held their peace. Why? For by the way, they had dispute among themselves who should be the greatest. Now, this is fascinating, isn't it? Just a few verses earlier, Yeshua said to them, listen, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be really delivered by the hand of man, and I'm going to die for the sin of this world. And instead of them paying attention, they are walking around the fields of the Galil, and they were talking and says, which one is really the greatest among us? I'm the greatest, one might say. No, 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 I'm the greatest. The other one said, no, no, I have done this, and I have seen this, and I'm closer to Yeshua. I am the greatest. Now, you and I might say, I would never do such a thing. But isn't it true, brothers and sisters, we might even not say it verbally, but we truly think it. Sometimes our mind and our thought, we're so self-centered, we surely do that. If the disciples did that, you and I cannot say that we don't do that. And the point is that we learn from this is that the Lord listens to what we say. He also sees with his eyes our behavior and conduct. And while they didn't think about that, they are walking on the way in the Galil, and they are walking all together, they're following after Yeshua all the way to Kfar Nahum, Yeshua challenged them. And he said, what is it that you have been disputing among yourselves? I saw you arguing, and I heard you arguing on the way from around the Galil there, around the Sea of Galilee. We have arrived to Kfar Nahum. He's sitting there in that place, in the house of Simon, and he challenged him. He says, listen, why is it that you disputed? What were you talking about? And the disciples knew very well that they were not right. Oh, they knew very well, oh yeah, we were arguing with another. Perhaps, let me just remind you, Peter, James, and John just came up from the mountain, Mount Hermon, and they have seen the glorified Mashiach in a future glory when he will be reigning over Israel and the world in a messianic kingdom. And maybe, I'm not sure who, but maybe they were probably thinking of themselves, boy, we are the greatest three. And maybe when they came down and they joined the other nine, and the other nine says, what did you see? What have you seen? He said, it's not for you to know. We are the greatest one. We'll tell you later. Now, mind you, the Lord told them not to share this with them. But isn't it true, brothers and sisters, because God revealed to us certain things and we have been privileged in one thing or another, we always seem to think that we know better and we are superior than others. And we don't learn the lessons that the Lord wants to teach us to learn from Him. What an example He has been for us in our lives. He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. Though He was equal with God, Philippians chapter 2, He became a man, was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He lived the perfect life. He humbled Himself, but He didn't stop there. He was going all the way to the shameful cross where He will die for the sin of this world. The sinless one. The pure one. The creator of the universe as man humbled Himself. You know, if there's anything that touches our hearts, is to realize how much He has done for us and the willingness to come down from heaven to humble Himself. What a lesson we learn here. And yet the disciples don't grasp it. They just don't. Like I don't grasp it. because we often so much occupied with ourselves, and they couldn't say a word. They couldn't say a word because it says here they held their peace. They didn't say a word. Why? Because by the way, verse 34, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. That shows us that even though they were believers in Yeshua, they still have the sin in them that we all still carry with us. You know, we are born again, but it doesn't mean that our old nature has disappeared. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to each other. The spiritual man want to live for God. The old nature, the old man want to live for self. The new man want to glorify God. The old nature said, I will be glorified. And we are learning as we walk here in this world how much we need the grace of God. And so now in the next verses, from verse 35 really to the end of the chapter, Yeshua the Messiah is teaching the important thing, the lesson of what is true honor. What is really true to be the one who is honored by God, the one who is the greatest? Do you want to be the greatest? He's really asking them, and he would ask you and I today. Do you really want to have an honor that you seek for that all the time? And there he tells them, let me tell you what is truly honor from God rather than honor for men. I was just recently watching on the television those that are the great singers, the great actors, those ones that we are all fascinated by, the movie stars. Oh yeah, they're going to get a lot of glory here in this world. People will shout and will exalt them and give them a place, and they will be so pumping themselves as if they are so much great here in this world. But listen, one day, we all going to have to stand before God, and God going to evaluate the life of each one, the unbeliever, but also the believer's life. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Believers! And every one of us is going to get the reward exactly as we live. Whatever has been done for the flesh is going to have to be burnt with fire. But whatever was done for Yeshua, the Messiah, will last for time and for eternity. And so here he is teaching them what is really true honor. And so notice what he does. Chapter 9 of Mark, verse 35, he sat down. He sit down and he become the teacher. Now notice that he is in the house, in Shimon Petros and Andrew's house in Kfar Nachum, he become the head of the house. Wherever Yeshua go, he is in charge. He sit down, he called the 12 disciples unto him, and you notice what he tells them here in verse 35. He called them the 12 and he said, if any man desire to be first, or to be honored, or to be the greatest, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Do you really want to be the greatest from wherever you are, whoever you are, in your local assembly, your local congregation, or the family, wherever you are? If you really want to be the greatest, first of all, he said, the same must be the last of all, and also, he adding, the servant of all. Now, you know, again, bear with me. Isn't it true we all love to be served? And it's so wonderful to sit at the table and somebody serves you. You know, I've been so privileged for years to be hosted by homes of brothers and sisters who have hosted me as a servant of the Lord, coming to their home. They take care of me, they feed me, they allow me to stay at night. And I often think about it. There's one dear sister who said to me, Brother Gideon, you are the servant of the Lord and we want to serve you. And in my heart, I'm thinking, Lord, the true servant is that sister or that brother who hosts me, who allow me to be in their home or take care of me, making sure that I can carry on in the ministry that the Lord has entrusted unto me. That's the true servant. It's very humbling when you really think, in God's sight, I'm not talking about what people think. I'm talking about what does God says about this. And as far as God is concerned, those who serve Him are the ones that are really honored before Him. Those that really take the energy and the time and the focus, they make it a purpose, I'm going to serve God and God's people. They are truly the ones that are the greatest in the midst of the people of God, as before God, not as before men, but as before God. And Yeshua teaching us a principle. It's really a principle. And because He heard what they say, and He see what they do, no one can ever hide from the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. Because He sees everything. He's all-knowing, He's all-seeing, He's all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresence. The Lord is with us right this moment, even though we don't think He is. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, Yeshua said, there am I in the midst of them. And so look at this. He said to them in verse 35, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and shall be servant of all. That's the way God evaluates things. Yeshua is teaching the disciples. So now notice that immediately in the next verse, Yeshua teaches a visual lesson on what is true honor. He's very visual, Yeshua the Messiah. If you see, this is, by the way, the synagogue in the city of Kfar Nahum. It's called the White Synagogue, which was built upon the synagogue that Yeshua the Messiah was there when he went to the city of Kfar Nahum. Next to this synagogue is the homes of Peter and Andrew, is where Yeshua visited there. And wherever he have gone to these homes that were community homes. There was like homes that one close to each other next to the Beit HaKnesset.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.